It's another Mike and Mike off-air podcast. Mike O'Neill here afternoons on the new My 97.5.
Mike Pesto over here every single morning on My 97.5. So, you know, I was out on Tuesday.
Yes.
Well, let me ask you something before. I don't know if you ever found out why I was out on Tuesday. Is there anything that you are, as far as you're concerned at this point, the foremost authority on, but you really wish you weren't?
Not the foremost authority, but I know way too much about colonoscopies now, having taken three, and the prep. And that's the thing, man. The colonoscopy is nothing because you're out. It's the prep, and you're wide awake for that.
Don't let anyone ever say with our podcast, we don't pull back every curtain.
Oh, yeah. Don't pull that curtain back.
I had pink eye.
Yeah, you did.
Well, so you noticed how...
The next day.
How red... Yeah, they're still pretty red, but I didn't know. I always thought, because whenever anyone has pink eye, everyone steps back. Well, it's contagious. It's incredibly contagious. And it is, if it's bacterial.
Right.
I didn't know it's not just a bacterial infection. It can be a viral infection, which, as we all know, after coronavirus, you can't do anything with a viral infection. You just have to treat the symptoms and wait for the body to do its thing. It could be caused by allergies. It could be caused by something getting in your eye. And it's always the same symptoms with the redness, the puffiness, and that gunk.
That's the worst. Waking up with that, it's like, I can't open my eyes.
Exactly. It's time to wake up, and my eyes aren't ready to yet.
Yeah, that's a gross feeling. And I remember when I've had pink eye, thank you, my kids, that your eyes just burn all day, and there's nothing you can do about it.
And it was worse on that Tuesday because, you know, as bright as it was and as warm as it's been getting, even just being in a well-lit room, my eyes were I was like keeping – the only thing I was looking at was at my computer, not self-diagnosing so much, but trying to figure out, okay, how did I get this? What is pink eye all about? Because I did go to the doctor, and she didn't give me anything specifically for it, because her assumption was, again, it was either an allergy irritant or it was a viral infection. There's nothing you can do with that. So I'm like, well, I wonder what she was talking about. Next thing you know – if you ever need to know anything about pink eye, come to me. I won't even charge you a copay.
Dr. Mike Pesto in the house. Yeah, you were blonde for 2 days. I have two very we're very white blonde. They're not now, but when they were kids, and Shannon and Sean, and they were both very sensitive to the sun, and that's kind of a ginger thing. And yeah, you're anything but a ginger, but you were the last 2 days.
The other thing I wanted to mention before you get to whatever we're going to be talking about today, the eclipse. I kind of briefly touched on it. Did you go outside Monday? And
sorry,
your yawn. That's
well,
a no.
But I did go out. Yeah,
oh, you did. Okay.
Oh, and I'm a little reticent to admit that I went outside, looked right up at it, right at it, like a dummy. And I thought I was smart with my fingers like this. I looked for 2 seconds, and sure enough, eyes burnt out for an hour.
So your gold. Eyes were red, too. It just wasn't pink eye.
I'm just a dummy is what it is. But, yeah, it was the anti-climax of the week for me.
It was here because I think at most it was 40.6, 40.8, whatever it is, coverage of the sun with the moon. I did watch, and it actually – I made this our video of the week online at my975fm.com. You can check it out. And actually, turn this into a drinking game if you want. Watch the video, and every time either the news anchor from CBS News, who was in Niagara Falls, every time she says magical in describing the earthquake, or one of the members of the family she talks to about it says the word magical, we have to take a shot. You'll be blitzed halfway through that video.
Because of that, huh?
And
magic
heart. Okay, the first time she said it, okay, I can see getting wrapped up in the moment, but you're a news reporter. It's not magical. It's astrological. We knew this was going to happen. We know when the next one is going to happen in 2044, 45, to the day, everything. There's nothing magical about it.
Now, is standing in the dark magical? or is looking at the Aurora Borealis magical? I ask rhetorically.
It was so hard to tell because everything about it was magical. Again, watch the video. It'll be online at least through Monday at my975fm.com and see what it looked like through the magical eyes of those who had a total solar eclipse.
It's what they thought, anyway. Yeah. Well, how about this? You know this. Everybody knows this. Yesterday, all of a sudden, right in the middle, everybody that works here at the radio station, we have a nice group text so that when something goes awry or something happens, we all, bling, oh, this is either good. This is going to be interesting or not good news. In this case, it was a little bit of both.
Yeah.
And everybody knows now that O.J. Simpson passed away of prostate cancer, and we all got the notification yesterday, and we all had an opinion about it, didn't we?
We did, and that was how I found out on the air. I didn't say anything on the air about it. I didn't post anything on the station's Facebook page about it because he's about as derisive as a person as there is. There are some to this day that swear that every time he was on a golf course, he was out looking for the real killers, as he always told us he was. That he may have known more than what he said, but he was innocent. And there are others, I would say the majority, and that's just my knee-jerk reaction to some of the posts that I've seen already, that swear he did do what he was alleged to have done. And I can't help but think of the difference. Chronologically, first it started with the slow speed chase.
That is my longest, most enduring memory of that. Calling that a police chase was an oxymoron. It was like, no, that's a white Bronco traveling 39 miles an hour is what that is, with 100 police cars behind it.
That was the very first backup on the 405 ever, I believe. And I don't even know what freeway it was on. I was just obviously just kind of having fun with it. But I think, okay, so where were you? I think because everyone, if you're of a certain age, you can remember when you found out about 9/11, where you were for the moon landing, if, again, a certain age, but not old enough for that one, but where you were when you were watching, because America was watching, the slow speed chase, at least some portion of it, because it seemed to go on for days.
Well, it was 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it roughly, I can't remember the year it happened, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I can't either. I know where I was, but where were you?
I was.
And how much did you see of it?
Well, I just remember being with my family in the living room, okay. And we're like, "What the heck is this? What is? Look, it's O.J. Simpson." You know, all of a sudden
you think because you see a head move around in the back every once in a while, and then we didn't know at the time. Was it A.C. Cowlings? Was that his name? The driver of the vehicle, I believe. His friend,
his buddy. I know. That's the thing. It's funny you say that. All these names have been popping up in social media and the news over the past day, and I had forgotten about so many of them.
Oh, we'll get to quite a few of them, I'm sure.
It just makes me laugh. And yeah, A.C. Cowlings was the buddy.
Yeah, that was driving. I still don't know whose vehicle it actually was. I really don't care that much about it now. But I was working at a radio station in San Francisco, KFRC, if anyone's familiar with it. And I was there in the newsroom, of all places, at a media outlet watching with, you know, other announcers, some newscasters, because we had a pretty big news division there at the station at the time, and just kind of watching it all unfold.
Yeah.
And little comments here and there. And, you know, at that point, you know, real no opinions on guilt or innocence. That came much later, obviously, but that's where I was.
I was over at, I've been working here for 30 years, so you know where I was, but not here. It was probably Mooney back then. God. I am old, but yeah, talking about it with family and responding and wondering, you know, God, what if it was us? Can you imagine? I mean, what they're going through in the families and becoming aware of all these names. You mentioned a name yesterday. I mean, for the first time, we find out who Robert Kardashian was and why that would matter in the future. You mentioned yesterday, he had that Dream Legal Team. I didn't realize how many people were on this thing.
So there was Robert Kardashian. There was, the main prosecutor, or the
civil rights attorney, Johnny Cochran.
Johnny Cochran. I was blanking on his name. If I would have had multiple choice, I would have gotten it.
The big guy, F. Lee Bailey, was part of the team.
Oh, yeah.
Alan Dershowitz.
Uh-huh.
And I had forgotten this guy, DNA expert Barry Scheck, to which we replied, okay. Who? But, yeah, I mean, can you imagine Robert Kardashian as well? I mean, that was his legal team.
And for the prosecutors, it was Marcia Clark, I remember, was one of the leads. And there was another co-lead. I could pick him out of a lineup right now, but I can't remember his name.
I can't remember it either. But
okay, Marcia Clark was the one I remember quite a bit. And then I want to say there was a news outlet that picked her up afterwards, and she had a brief stint on CNN or Fox News, one of those two, as a legal analyst.
And it just seemed like the news media gave her heck all the way through it.
Oh, yeah.
That I remember. That I remember clearly. It's like, she's not doing anything really all that wrong, guys. Easy.
There was the first trial I also remember that was televised.
Yes.
From beginning to end. Now, maybe there were others that also were, but one that captured the nation's attention before there was even going to be a trial.
Yeah.
And then the judge, whose name I do remember, Judge Ito,
yep,
made the decision to allow everything to be seen, every moment, every argument, every glove that does not fit. And I remember Jay Leno having fun with Judge Ito. He had, if you remember, the dancing Itos, yes, at one point, all in the robes, all kind of looking like him. And every once in a while, they would just kind of come out in the middle of nowhere and do their little shtick and then dance back off stage.
I'm surprised they didn't end up on a Christmas card we could customize with all our faces.
Well, the musical ones that you open it up. And
yeah. Pretty crazy. Some names. You remember these names? Cato Kaelin.
Oh, geez. How could you forget Cato?
Right?
He was the one who lived in the guest house out back.
Fabulously unemployed.
Who may or may not have heard something bump in the middle of the night, but didn't go to investigate.
At all. Thank you for asking. And interesting perspective. Ron Goldman's father said he's not focusing on O.J. Simpson yesterday. Instead, he's just choosing to remember his son and using today to think about how long he's been gone. Of course he would be, correct?
Now, he was the one, if I remember correctly, who brought the wrongful death charge against O.J. That turned into the civil case. The criminal case, you could definitely tell O.J.'s money was spent on that defense to keep him out of prison. And when it came to the civil trial, which was afterwards, I don't know if he just didn't care as much about those proceedings, or he was bankrupt at that point and there was no money left. But you could tell the government's prosecution of him paled in comparison to the civil prosecution against him.
And
the first thing that everyone thinks of from the civil trial is, if they do not fit, you must acquit the whole thing with the gloves. And if I remember correctly, they were like race car driving gloves, very slim fit.
Yeah, like driving gloves.
Yeah, exactly.
Leatherish driving gloves.
You know what you're doing, you can manipulate your hand like O.J. may have done in that courtroom to make it look like the gloves would not fit by just kind of, you know, I'm showing on the YouTube, if you're watching on YouTube right now, and please do subscribe and watch on YouTube, you could kind of change this, you know, your hand a little bit and just try to pretend to put a glove on it. Nope, I can't.
You can make it look like it doesn't fit.
When
in fact, you could get your other hand in there probably. crazy. And the thing that stuck through the whole time to me, you know, I think most of us do this. I look at someone else and kind of measure them by how I grew up and the way I was raised and I just always got such a narcissistic vibe from OJ in this context. I just never, ever really thought he was looking for the killer.
Well, and that was the quote-unquote joke afterwards, is every time he was on a golf course afterwards and reporters would catch up to him, he would still swear up and down he's looking for the real killers. Are they in the bunker off the on the second hole on this course?
The golf cart.
And you're not going to find them here. How important is this to you that you're finding the real killers while golfing?
No. I thought it ironic that he served 9 years in prison for that unrelated case involving the memorabilia robbery in Las Vegas.
I lived in Las Vegas at that time, so that was a big deal there.
But, I mean, I mean, how many times have you been to trial and have you had legitimate reasons to be the trial and possibly serve prison time? Obviously, he has a different set of right and wrong.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. That's narcissistic / sociopathic personality. And I just don't think we'll ever really know. But I know there's a part of my gut. And I don't know O.J. Simpson. I'll say that right up front. I wasn't there when any of those things happened.
Allegedly.
I sure wasn't. But but there's just was always a part of me that just thought he was trying to cover up what happened. I just always had that vibe.
I'll say this, my personal opinion is how could you not?
Yeah.
Just based on the evidence that we all had a chance to see, and you can still check out, I'm assuming, on YouTube videos ad nauseum. So there's enough stuff out there. If you wanted to become, talk about becoming an expert on something you really wish you wouldn't, you could on this go back and watch some of that. And then I can't remember if the civil trial was also televised, but there was a lot of stuff that came out with the civil trial. The one moment I remember, and you know, a juxtaposition to the whole the glove would not fit, so you must acquit, is them asking. I even remember the name of the brand, Bruno Mali shoes.
Wow.
That I think they showed the pattern because they showed a picture of the mud outside one of the windows, and it's a very distinctive pattern on the sole of the shoe. And O.J., and they figured out from that pattern it was Bruno Mali's shoes. They asked O.J. Simpson, I would never own a pair of those ugly-ass shoes. Can I please have Exhibit A, a picture of him on the sidelines as a sideline reporter for the NFL, wearing said ugly-ass shoes?
Making it clear that he had a completely different understanding of the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth than you and I. And speaking of that, if, God forbid, something had happened to Seska, or had something had happened to my wife, and it had been something that I had done or you had done out of anger that you had never intended to do, you couldn't have talked to me after that. I would have been falling apart and just such an absolute disaster because of the implications of what I had done to somebody so important to me. He just always seemed pissed off. He never seemed devastated.
Good point. Yeah,
he just seemed angry.
In retrospect, I would have to go back and watch, which I have no interest in doing whatsoever. But recollection tells me that pretty much hits a nail on the head. You know, when he was there in the courtroom, it was, he was a defendant in every sense of the word. He was very defended his actions. Who is defiant in a lot of ways. And again, just
that's
my
the
own
word.
Personal opinion on it.
That's the word.
I'd never met him either, even though, like I said, I lived in Las Vegas at the time of the whole sports memorabilia store issue. And I remember thinking at the time, this reminds me of Al Capone. He killed a couple people, but he's going to prison for this? With Al Capone, it was he did everything he did with all the illegal activities, but he's thrown in jail because he lied on his taxes?
Yeah, right. Oxymorons for 200, Alex. Yeah, it's pretty wild. That anger always didn't sit well with me. When somebody was truly not guilty, they were so devastated by what had happened that they were so overwhelmed that they couldn't even hardly talk. They couldn't move. They had trouble moving forward. He was just pissed.
I wonder, now that he's passed, and obviously that's the catalyst for us even bringing this up, and it's not an anniversary of anything related to the case or anything.
Right.
But I wonder if he did, once his diagnosis was made, if he was ever told at some point, listen, we've done all we can do, you've got weeks, if not days left. If he ever did tell anyone, a close friend of his, hey, listen, when I'm gone, let everyone know I did it. Or is he, staying true to what he told years ago to the very end? Is he still holding by that? Or did he
thought of that?
Did he try to come clean to somebody? Say, okay, wait till I'm gone, but when I am, if this really is it, let everybody know, yeah. You can stop looking for the real killers now. I'm gone.
Wow, the group text might be popping tomorrow. I hadn't thought of that. That would be enlightening. It would give
closure
to certain people.
Is Ron Goldman's, because it was his father. He's another one that I can, and I'm usually terrible with names and faces, but I can still picture him usually outside the courtroom every day after the trial, especially the civil trial, talking. And a lot of it, once he realized, it seemed, how things were going in the criminal trial, I saw him, his name popping up, and his picture would be on TV and videos of him. And he was the money, really, from what I remember, behind the civil trial. Do you happen to know if he's still with us at this point?
They both talked, yes, because they both
okay.
Fred spoke,
oh, that's right, you mentioned that.
Fred spoke with people hours after the news of his and said he's only thinking about how Ron died nearly 30 years ago, and he just that's all he's focused on right now, and remembering Ron and Nicole. So, I mean, what else would he be doing, right?
You know, and putting it in that perspective, just as a parent who lost a son in their case, and someone whom I'm assuming was close with the family as well, in Nicole's case, and Nicole had family as well, obviously, of not having that closure. As minuscule, as terrible as a comparison as this is, I remember living in Las Vegas at one point, and I had something stolen out of my car. I remember thinking, if I could just know when this happened, how it happened, who did it, just the facts behind it, I would go ahead and say, go ahead and keep what you stole at this point. I just want to know the facts of what happened.
Yeah.
Again, terrible comparison when you compare something stolen to two people losing their lives, but to have some level of closure all these years later and be able to find out that, yes, he finally on his deathbed, quite literally, did come clean and say yes. Or, again, did he whisper in someone's ear, tell them I'm still saying I didn't do it, gone.
I have always, always, always thought that it was a matter of, well, if I can't have her, no one can.
That's how it came across in court.
And I hate that so much. So much. That's so narcissistic. I mean, it's similar but different to my daughter once asked me, if somebody did something terrible to me, Dad, would you kill him? And I said, I think about this, Kelly. No, I wouldn't. I certainly wouldn't, because how can I raise you from a jail cell? How can I help you recover from a jail cell? How can I do that? And I kind of think it's similar. I don't understand how he could be so, unless I'm right and he's a narcissistic sociopath, because that would be the only understanding. That's just so inhuman.
A friend of mine asked me that same very question years ago and said, actually, the way he posed it, he assumed what my reaction would be. He said, if someone broke into your house tonight and killed, at that point, we had my son and my wife. My daughter hadn't been born yet. And so someone killed them both. If you were to find that person and kill them, there's no jury in the land that would convict you. I'm like, first of all, yes, they would. Second of all, I wish I could tell you what I would do in that situation. I think that's one of those, I think we've talked about in a previous podcast, that unless you are in that situation, you do not know. You would lose your mind to a certain degree. Would that allow you to, in the heat of the moment, if you actually saw it happen, kill the person that did it, knowing there's no way to bring them back at that point? I don't know what I would do. I would hope I would have it in my heart enough to not only not physically do anything to them, but at some point, somehow, some way, find the way to forgive that person for what they did. I still, to this day, I've always believed, until you're able to do that, you can't get that out of your system.
No, and then, you know, and it's hard to know, because we do, people have, and people will become temporarily out of control,
oh, yeah,
temporarily
insane.
Say what you want. And I haven't, that hasn't happened to me yet. I've been in some pretty interesting situations. That hasn't happened to me yet. I've thought about these situations and I've made determinations in my mind, but you, like you said, you don't know till you get there. I hope I will never do anything to allow myself to separate myself from my family because I owe them my presence. But I do have anger issues, and I don't know if I will or I won't. I surely hope I don't, and I hope that I will be. Now that I'm the age that I am, I've learned how important acceptance and forgiveness are, especially to a marriage, but in general. And I hope that I'll be able to do that.
I think it's one of the reasons why, and just one of the reasons why police officers, firefighters do as much training as they do in those pressure situations, so that it's not an emotional response to an emergency situation. It's a, oh, I've trained for this. I know exactly what to do if that door is on fire. If this person is shooting at me, I do this, I do that. It takes all of that emotional reaction out of the situation. How can you practice a situation where you walk in only to find someone in the middle of murdering family members of yours?
I have always we make these determinations. I have because my wife couldn't. I know her. She couldn't. If somebody were trying to kill, I don't think she could kill them. She's just so she's so passive in that way. Mm-hmm. She is a true pacifist. And I just don't know that she could. I truly believe that if somebody were going to take one of my kids or my wife down, I would do what was necessary to incapacitate them at the very least, mm-hmm. or worst if it were required. I know that I could do that. I also know that I'd have to live with it and attend the necessary therapy to get past it. But I know that I could prevent it, at least prevent it or take them down enough to make it so that my people will not be hurt.
And getting back to the OJ, it seems like that was a piece that was missing from his psyche.
Yes.
Assuming it all went down the way that it seems was laid out, that there was some romantic interlude going on between Nicole and Ron. OJ arrived on the scene, saw what was going on. Emotions got the better of him. And
boom.
You would think, again, that human component kicks in and, oh, my God. What have I just done? Whether you feel you're responsible or not, at least at some point in your life, even if it's on your deathbed, cleanse your soul of that to say, hey, yeah, by the way, I did do it.
I'll be waiting for the group text. We'll see if that happens, my friend.